Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, cult filmmaker John Waters.
I'm so tired of writing cult filmmaker on my income tax forms. If only I could write cult leader, I'd finally be happy.
That was from his last appearance on the program. Waters' new book, Carsick, chronicles his real and fictitious hitchhiking across America. Never mind Route 66, he did it at age 66.
Would you come on a spiritual pilgrimage with me to Baltimore naturally?
So, John Waters today. Also, Medicare will now cover sex change operations. What are the implications beyond the reimbursement checks? And the longtime Brooklyn DA, Charles Joe Hines, might be facing a serious criminal charge himself. We'll get details. But first, we talked yesterday about Governor Cuomo's deal with the Working Families Party, their endorsement in exchange for his help with some progressive legislation backed by the WFP. We'll take a look at two of those bills now that the governor might help get unstuck. One would change how the minimum wage works in New York State. The other would strengthen abortion rights laws. With us now are advocates for each of those ideas, Catherine Lederer-Plaskett, president of the Westchester Coalition for Legal Abortion, and Paul Sahn, general counsel with the National Employment Law Project. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And let's start with abortion rights. New York ain't exactly Texas. How are you trying to strengthen the law?
New York is becoming more and more like Texas. 53% of our counties have no abortion clinics. Every year there are anti-choice bills like defunding Planned Parenthood coming up in Albany. We have on the Republican ticket not a Nelson Rockefeller who signed our abortion law in, our abortion bill into law, but we have two extreme anti-choice candidates. We have Astorino, who has called the reproductive health component of the act ghastly and hideous.
He's the Republican nominee for governor.
Yes, and Cahill, who supported Pataki's administration, was a part of Pataki's administration when they vetoed Plan B and multiple of other things.
For Attorney General. But what's the issue that the state Senate has? Even many Republicans in New York are essentially pro-choice. What's the state Senate issue that the governor's pledge to the Working Families Party directly relates to?
The governor pledged to support and help get past the 10-point agenda, Women's Equality Agenda. It's called the Women's Equality Act now, including a component which is the reproductive health component. People are truly misled when they think that New York's law is up to snuff. The fact of the matter is the legislation does not give women the full constitutionally recognized protection of Roe v. Wade, and it does not incorporate the medical advances that have been made in reproductive health over the last 44 years. So women in New York deserve that. And when they go into a room, they deserve to get all 2,000 plus years of medical treatment available to them, including the last 44 years.
So despite Roe versus Wade guaranteeing a woman's right to an abortion, you think New York State needs to be ready for the day when that might be overturned. Is that where you're going?
No. That is part of it. But the other part is that our law does not give us the full constitutional protection of Roe today.
How could it not? Roe covers the entire nation.
Yes, but Roe, we have a law that says up to 24 weeks, and you cannot get an abortion in New York State after that, regardless of a woman's condition. And that's a problem. And we do not incorporate the new science, the new science into our law. We do not include the new language into our law. And that's what we need to do. And the women of New York want that. And it's a nonpartisan issue. And we need the governor to stand up and make sure it becomes part of our reality.
Listeners, let's continue this conversation that we started yesterday about Governor Cuomo making a deal with the Working Families Party to take certain steps in exchange for their endorsement. We're talking about two of the measures, or really they're kind of packages of law, that might be passed by the legislature if the governor throws his weight around in the right way now, having to do with abortion rights, as you've been hearing, also having to do with the minimum wage, which we'll get into. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we'll come back to Catherine Lederer-Plaskett, president of the Westchester Coalition for Legal Abortion. But let's turn now to Paul Sahn, who is on the minimum wage bills. One big issue, and thanks again for coming on, One big issue here is allowing New York City to raise the minimum wage higher than the statewide rate. Mayor de Blasio wants this, right?
Absolutely, Brian. Across the country, high-cost regions of other states are increasingly raising the minimum wage to reflect the reality that economic conditions and costs of living vary across states. So Seattle yesterday approved a $15 minimum wage. Leaders in Chicago, San Francisco, and Los Angeles are all pushing for the same. But in New York, we're held back by a 50-year-old legal ruling that says cities don't have the power. And of all the places in the nation where costs of living vary, New York is number one. Really, the economic logic for a higher local minimum wage, like Tokyo it has had for many years, higher than the rest of Japan, really makes a lot of sense.
Seattle, I didn't know that. This just passed yesterday?
Yesterday. It was finally approved. But it's not just them. Really, all the other high-cost cities, like global cities like New York, are pushing for higher local minimum wages. I'll expect to see them soon in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Mayor Emanuel in Chicago, a moderate, convened a task force for a higher city minimum wage. But I should say the other parts of the governor's package are equally important. After he announced three planks. One is raising the state minimum wage. New York's is just $8 an hour, going to $9. All the comparable.
So that's a pretty big difference with Seattle, if I could just jump in on that. $9 an hour minimum wage in New York, $15 an hour minimum wage in Seattle. That's really different.
It's huge. And San Francisco is actually $13.18. They have between their minimum wage and their health benefits rate, substantially higher. And New York, a lot of economists say the minimum wage should be somewhere around 50 or 60% of the average wage, which is a place where other countries with strong minimum wages have them. That would translate to about $15 an hour.
And what's Mayor de Blasio going for?
So I don't think he's announced a particular number, but the Cuomo package would authorize the state to go to $10, which is sort of where all the comparable high blue-cost states are going, and would allow localities to go up to 30% higher. That would translate to 13 and change for New York City. So it's not $15 an hour, but it's an excellent start. We know it's economically feasible because San Francisco already has standards at that level.
On an upstate public radio show in February, Governor Cuomo said allowing this kind of thing could create, quote, a chaotic situation, unquote, in which cities wound up pitted against each other. He said, quote, we don't want to cannibalize ourselves.
Well, that hasn't been the experience in other states. It's chiefly the high cost regions that move to raise the minimum wage. In some cases, actually, groups of high cost counties, as we saw in the D.C. suburbs in Maryland, acted together to adopt a higher regional wage that addresses their cost of living. And actually, what Governor Cuomo came out with was really sort of a hybrid, sort of Cuomo-style moderate package. He's raising the state minimum wage to the $10 benchmark that all the other blue states are doing, at least. He's adjusting it each year for inflation, a best practice that 13 states, even Republicans in many places, endorse. The Michigan legislature, Republican-controlled, just adopted indexing. And then he's allowing cities to go higher, but he has it with a 30% cap, which he feels more comfortable with. And it's a really strong package that would put New York on an excellent course.
Let me get you on this indexing idea. Then we'll bring Catherine back in and we'll have you two compare notes about whether the governor's deal with the Working Families Party might actually bring both your agenda items about or not. So allowing New York City to raise the minimum wage higher than the statewide rate we talked about. Then the other thing is tying the minimum wage to inflation. So you don't have to go through another whole fight in the legislature just to keep up with inflation time after time. Here is a clip of the Senate Republican leader. This is the guy who has the power, partly because of the deal that some renegade Democrats made with him to give him the power to bottle up this bill. This is State Senator Dean Skelos of Long Island. He's the Republican majority leader on this program earlier this year when he was advocating for the estate tax exemption to be tied to inflation. I asked him why not do the same thing with the minimum wage.
My concern with that is in many businesses, and we want to make sure that we don't hurt our small businesses, indexing it potentially would hurt them. We do have an increase in the minimum wage that just went into effect. We've had a three-year agreement that it would eventually go up to $9. And we're really waiting to see what the federal government is doing. Again, you have to be competitive with other states.
But you'll protect tax-exempt estates over $5 million from inflation, but not workers making minimum wage. Well, Who does that indicate government is for?
No, it indicates that we want to keep our citizens here so that they invest money and create private sector jobs. That's what it's about.
Well, Senator Scalise has it actually exactly wrong. Predictable annual increases in the minimum wage at, you know, 3% level, what other states do when they – the 13 other states that have indexed their minimum wages for inflation are the most kind of business-friendly, sort of easily planned for and accommodated minimum wage increases. The fact that New York does not have that requires us to play catch-up every X years and raise the minimum wage 30%, 40% or more. It's much better to do it in a predictable, moderate way. So that's why Mitt Romney – a lot of Republicans and a lot of business owners support indexing, and the Michigan Republicans.
Let's go back to Catherine Lederer-Plaskett, president of the Westchester Coalition for Legal Abortion, because there are abortion rights measures that may also get through the legislature now if Governor Cuomo's deal with the Working Families Party works out. Catherine, despite Roe versus Wade guaranteeing a woman's right to an abortion, the U.S. seems to be headed toward being a nation where you can actually get one in some states and not in others. Texas and Mississippi most recently passing laws, as you know, that impose rules on doctors that in effect make it impossible to offer abortion services without explicitly banning them. Do you think we're headed for that kind of country? And you're trying to position New York as being one of the receiver states, if you will, of women seeking abortions?
New York has always been at the forefront of women's rights and women's reproductive rights. So, yes, this country is headed in a terrible direction in many states for women and in the Supreme Court. So New York has to take the necessary steps to protect us. But I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about Dean Scalise.
Uh-huh.
If it were not for these, quote, independent Democrats, Dean Scalise would not be in charge of the Senate, and women's rights would be progressing in New York State. One of the things that Governor Cuomo made a deal with the or promised as part of this endorsement was to make sure that he supports Democratic candidates. Reproductive rights are not a partisan issue. Women across the political spectrum support comprehensive reproductive rights. But this fact that we have this, quote, independent Democratic coalition, all of whom ran on support on the vote of women, they support claim to support women's rights and now align themselves with Dean Scalise, all of them need to go because that is not supportive of women at all. And if Governor Cuomo can do something about this, then this will be very good for women.
Do you agree, Paul, that the current Republican control of the state Senate is the thing standing in the way of these progressive bills?
It is, and the opposition is really at the Senate majority leadership's peril. The minimum wage is one of the most popular issues in public life. Solid majorities of Republicans and independents mm-hmm. support it. Majorities of New York business owners, when small business owners, support raising the minimum wage as Governor Cuomo proposes to 10-10 and giving cities the power to go higher. And there are real electoral consequences if they continue to roadblock these things.
So play political analyst for us. Democrats have a majority of the Senate, a majority of the seats, but because of the deal that Jeff Klein of the Bronx and four other renegade Democrats made with the Republicans, as Catherine was just referring to, Republicans have been able to veto each of these abortion and minimum wage provisions and other progressive legislation. Would they go through if the renegade Democrats, who I think would vote for these bills, agree to stop going rogue on their party for who the leadership is?
I think they absolutely would.
Do you have a head count?
Senator Savino held a hearing yesterday on the governor's new proposal.
She's one of those rogue Democrats.
She was very positive on the elements of the governor's new proposal at the hearing yesterday.
And Catherine, you agree?
But I want to say talk is cheap. Talk is very cheap, and this is what these quote, independent Democrats have done. They've talked a lot and not delivered to the people who got them elected. And it's way past time for them to support, to advocate for their constituents.
Catherine, go ahead.
We at Choice Matters, Westchester Coalition for Legal Abortion, Choice Matters, were key in Jeff Klein winning his primary years ago based on the issue of choice and his record in the assembly. Jeff has turned his back on women and turned his back on this issue, and simply talking about it, which he loves to do, doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
His district, I guess I should clarify, is part of the Bronx, and does go into Westchester,
right? It went
right?
into Westchester a lot more when he was running for it the first time. It was considered to be cut like a lobster because they were trying to keep the Republican in office who then went to jail. was Villella. And now it includes part of Pelham and part of Mount Vernon. It includes all of Pelham and part of Mount Vernon.
Right.
And he's really managed to remove himself as much as possible from Westchester because he knows that we get our voters out.
But if talk is cheap, Catherine, what about Governor Cuomo's talk? He's got this deal in words now with the Working Families Party. What do you need to see him do to actually deliver on his promise so these bills get through?
I don't want to comment on the deals per se. I do want to say that the governor has a lot of responsibility now to deliver to the people who voted him in. Women voted him in. People looking for higher pay, a minimum wage that's a livable wage, voted him in. So we have a big summer ahead of us. Let's see what happens.
Paul Sons, same question. What does the governor need to do to keep this deal? And, you know, it sounds like you and he are on the same side. You want these bills through, but what does he have to do to keep his deal, Paul Son?
Well, so I think I would my colleague put it well. I mean, I'm not a political prognosticator, but it's, you know, there's a lot of momentum behind both these issues. And if either the IDC or the Republicans bottle them up, there's a real political price to pay.
If Jeff Klein, Catherine, since this is relevant to where you endorse, says that he will vote for a Democrat for a majority leader, will you endorse him for re-election?
We endorse solely on the issue of your record on reproductive rights. That's where we endorse. We don't endorse a party. We see who can advance our cause the best. We now, because of new election law, we rate, and our PAC, WCLA PAC, does the endorsements. And right now, Jeff has a big hole to climb out of.
Catherine Lederer-Plaskett, president of the Westchester Coalition for Legal Abortion, and Paul Sahn, general counsel with the National Employment Law Project, advocating for some of those changes in the minimum wage that we discussed. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And thank you for having us.